Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Chanel, and tonight we're joined by Gage Munster, one of the contestants of the sci-fi reality show Face Off. But before we speak to Gage, I just want everyone to know that tonight's call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399. Now, I just received a message saying that there may be some trouble with the site or getting on the lines, and if that is the case, then you need to use the number 646-200-4444. Again, if you're having trouble getting on the website or getting through to the line or the normal number, you can use 646-200-4444. Welcome to the show, Gage. How are you tonight?
Hi. Good. Thank you. How are you?
We are wonderful. Wonderful. We just want to just jump right into the conversation because we know, you know, you don't have a lot of time tonight. So we just want to jump right into the conversation with you. Can you share with our listening audience how and when you started your career as an FX makeup artist?
Yeah. How the show has changed everything?
Well, no, you started your career.
Oh, how I started. I'm sorry. Yeah, the phone broke up. I was like, what? I actually started my career as an effects makeup artist very young. I first became interested in being a special effects makeup artist when I was 6 years old, mainly because of Freddy Krueger, and it's a true story, it's not made up. and as I got older, I think when I was about 16, I started working in the local haunted house industry in Utah. I'm originally from Utah. So that's kind of where my roots are, and that's kind of where I started to get my feet wet with a lot of makeup and a lot of special effects makeup. And it just kind of blossomed from there. I kind of started getting all the books I could get my hands on and getting all the supplies I could get my hands on and just started doing it from there. So.
Oh, wow. So you haven't gone to, like, any effects schools or anything like that?
Oh, no. I started out in the haunted house industry, and then from there I moved to Las Vegas. I lived in Las Vegas for a year and helped some of my friends out on some of their local shows there. And then from there I moved out to Los Angeles, and I put myself through kind of a makeup school when I was 20. So, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So now you asked this earlier, so how has the show changed everything for you?
Oh, yeah. You know, what's interesting is the show actually kind of gave me a plateau just to kind of try to establish a little bit more of a name for myself. So now I find, you know, aside from getting stopped a lot and people being very friendly when I speak with them, mm-hmm. I feel like it's, you know, one, I feel like it's kind of, I get a lot of messages. It's inspired a lot of people to get into doing makeup and to really pursue whatever it is they want to pursue, and that part's really cool, but it's changed for my career in the sense of, like, you know, now I can walk into a meeting with a director when it comes to taking on a new makeup job, and they're very familiar with my work, and they're very familiar with what, you know, I can do. So there seems to be a greater sense of trust amongst my industry when it comes to me, working with me anyway, as well as, you know, I used to have my portfolio with me and, you know, give them links to my website and stuff. But because of the show, they're actually already familiarized with my work. So that helps significantly as well. So I think that's where it's changed a lot for me.
Nice. So let me ask you, if you actually won the show, what would you have done with the $100,000 prize?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that question because actually they asked us that question in our interviews originally for the show and in the auditioning process. They asked you that. And my grandma is currently very sick and she really needs to have oxygen tanks with her. And I told her that I really wanted to win, you know, because you got to think after taxes, I could get about like 50 grand or something like that. We'll just save 50 grand.
Right.
But I wanted to take that money and use it to help my grandma, she needs all these oxygen tanks, but also to help my mother, because my mother she had got laid off from the company she worked at for 12 years, and she was having a really difficult time finding a job. She finally did, but it, you know, like 4 years, because it didn't take 4 years. It took like, 2 years. but because of her age, she was having a hard time finding a job. And she finally did, but it's in the next county. So she has to drive, you know, an hour to work and an hour back, and her car is starting to clunk out. And so I was going to hopefully use that money to either fix my mom's car or get her a new one and then help my grandma, you know, her oxygen tanks. And then aside from that, whatever was left, of course, I was going to do what I needed to do for myself, whatever that may be, pay bills, you know,
right.
something new for myself or something. But those are my two primary concerns going into it. So, but, you know, whatever. They didn't show that, maybe. I don't know why. But it's okay. I mean, you know, it's cool.
Now, let me ask you, because you said you're from originally from Utah, and you started off working in the haunted house industry. How has living in Los Angeles changed, or has living in Los Angeles changed the direction that your career has gone in?
Actually, it has changed. It's changed a lot. I always knew, you know, I wanted to work on films. And I just remember being a kid, and I just, you know, I was very engulfed in the horror films from the 1980s, as well as the horror films from, you know, the classic era, the black and white, Frankenstein and Wolfman and Creature from the Black Lagoon. And so I was very influenced, but I lived in the decade of the 1980s. I guess I still kind of do, because, you know, I was a little kid then. So I mean, it's kind of like the decade. I feel I missed out on that. I was like, I was born at the wrong time. I need to go back to the 1980s. But it's changed a lot because growing up, I was like, I want to work on movies. And that's kind of what I always tried to gear myself towards. But they actually do a lot of filming in Utah. But it was all, so I just started working as an extra on set of a lot of different movies. And just getting my feet wet and getting my way to learn my way around a set. After that, once I got to L.A., I put myself through school, you know, I started getting on movie sets and I started getting and actually working and learning how to maneuver around a set as a makeup artist, you know. So definitely geared, because out here there is no haunted house industry. I mean, there's literally no haunted houses out here because the major theme parks here, like Knott's Berry Farm turns to Knott's Scary Farm, and then they have Six Flags turns into a haunted theme park, Universal turns into Universal Horror Nights. So I actually started working like every October at Universal Studios doing makeup there as well. But really, you know, there's no other out here for haunted house makeups. Mm-hmm. So it definitely, like, if you're out here and you're in the industry, it's either film or television or print work or nothing. You know what I mean? Like nothing at all.
Right.
So
do you have any interest in some of those other things? Like, do you do any beauty work? Do you have interest in film or film? But like,
yeah, I do. You know, what's funny is I do a lot of beauty makeup actually. I was trained in both. Like, I was self-taught a lot in special effects. I put myself through school partially because I knew that there were, you know, better ways to do what I was doing. I just didn't know them yet. Also, I wanted to learn beauty makeup because I know the fundamentals are the same. The highlight and shadow can either make someone beautiful or, you know, you can take a very, like, just using flat makeup, grease paint makeup, you can turn someone into a monster by just using highlight and shadow. The principles are all the same. You just got to learn how to use them.
Right.
So I wanted to be a very skilled artist, and I wanted to be able to go on a job and be confident, and no matter what I was going to do, I knew how to do it. So I did learn beauty. I'm trained in beauty, trained in a high fashion, full body airbrushing, special effects, everything. Special effects is where I feel more creatively satisfied because it involves, you know, drawing and sketching as well as sculpting and actual application and painting. So it's much more intense, but I feel like I get more artistic satisfaction out of special effects as opposed to beauty. But I you know, I do love doing a lot of beauty and high fashion. I really love avant-garde work. I love doing that.
I can tell in some of your work, you know, some of your makeups, I can kind of tell. It seems as if to be a special effects makeup artist, you have to know a lot of things like you just mentioned, the painting, the, you know, the sculpting. How important is all of that?
I run across a lot of makeup artists that just And I think it's monumentally important to be very well diverse, or, you know, even just the least, you know, the littlest, smallest bit of knowledge geared towards that arena, only because it is still our industry, and it is still something that we are called upon as artists to perform in one way or another. I think it's sculpture especially is extremely important because, you know, it's learning the human body, it's learning the form and the figure of both the female anatomy and the male anatomy, which can come into play a lot when you're doing, like, you know, like when you're doing highlight and shadow, when you're, you know, having to find someone's cheekbones, just knowing someone's basic facial structure, where those, you know, the cheekbone would lie or where it would rest. I mean, I feel like it's all so fundamentally important to learn everything because it all ties into each other in some form, you know.
Right. Now, you won the first foundation challenge on the show.
Yeah.
Now, were you kind of shocked, you know, and you all are meeting and greeting and having drinks and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you find out that the first challenge was starting right then and there?
Right, yeah. It was, you know, it was funny because it's funny that you bring that up because it was interesting. It was like, I don't know. The whole situation was so surreal that day because, you know, a lot of us meeting on camera, of course some of us knew who each other were, you know, mm-hmm. before the show. But a lot of us meeting, that was the very first time on camera, even though we were, you know, all getting there at the same time to the hotel and we had all seen each other like in the lobby and stuff, they would not allow us to speak to each other. So you're not allowed to like they have people watching us. Like they had people from casting standing by us at all times. And we were not absolutely hands not allowed to speak to each other, you know, or communicate in any way. So it was really awkward because, you know, we were just sitting there, like all of us sitting there, like you could, you know, or sitting next to each other. We just couldn't talk to each other until that moment when we walk in and we're at the bar and we start speaking with each other. So that was like a genuine, you know, and that's what they wanted. They wanted that genuine feel to it. So it was very genuine. But then when they announced that, you know, our models, I remember I just kept asking the waiters for some water because I don't. Even on the show, like there's an episode where I do a big toast and everyone's drinking champagne. I had water in my like wine glass. I don't drink. So they, you know, the waiters were serving wine, you know, it's like, can I just get water or a Coke? I don't even care. Just like something. And they're like, oh, well, we'll see if that's available. And they would walk away. And I was like, what? Like, why don't the waiters know what's behind the bar? I thought it was so strange, and then you come to find, and then I still never got a water the entire thing, and then we come to find out that they're models. That's why they had no clue. Like, oh, is there water or Coke? Okay. And they're like, I don't know. Let me check. And they'd walk away and just never come back. I'm all, that was weird. Why don't they know what's behind the bar? Like, you don't know what you're serving. That's strange. And then it's because they were models. It was so funny. The whole thing was just so surreal. And then to be thrown into, you know, doing a makeup like that, it's just like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about that challenge because you were paired up with Sergio.
Yes.
The challenge was a human-animal hybrid, and so I know it seems like throughout the whole season of the show, they kept, you know, emphasizing originality and technique. So
yes.
Let's talk a little bit about what that challenge was and, you know, how you all worked together.
They introduced the challenge to us, and it was we had to create an original human-animal hybrid. Then they partnered us up by random draw. And I was partnered with Sergio on that one. And then, you know, they go on to introduce what animals we're going to have to work. One of them is a beetle, and then they reveal that one of them is an ostrich, and then they reveal that one is an elephant. And they have the actual animals there in the shop, which was really cool. I loved the elephant. I love elephants. And, you know, so we all kind of got really excited, and we're all, like, you know, really happy to be a part of it. And then, you know, we get to work. Once we're in our teams and they let us work, we start designing and we start, you know, brainstorming. And Sergio and I had, you know, we were jiving on the same idea. Like, we were really excited about it. And honestly, I don't recall stopping really to look at anyone else's work around me. I do remember Joe and Jessica working next to us, but the whole thing was so strange because we're all still still just getting to know each other, and we're all
right.
still, you know, we're, you know, you're kind of on the lookout to see who's gonna, you know, who has a lot of talent in what field, who's like a strong painter,
right.
who's a strong sculptor. Only, you know, because you are in competition, so you are kind of keeping an eye open for those things. But I honestly had no idea what Tom and Connor were doing. The way the teams are set up is like two teams would do an elephant, two teams would do an ostrich, and two teams would do a beetle. So it's kind of like you're competing with the other team that's doing that, as well as everybody else to try to do a great makeup. But I really got the sense that they were judging each concept off of one another. Do you know what I mean? So, like, they were really
mm-hmm.
looking at our elephant man compared to Tommy and Connor's elephant man, and then et cetera,
right.
for everybody else. So that was fine, but I really didn't notice that they were even thinking about going the same route. I had won immunity on that first challenge. So I told Sergio, I said, I don't want, and I tried to make such a point. I was like, I don't want people to think that I'm just going to sit back because I have immunity and let you do all the work. I was like, you focus on the face because, you know, a lot of artists, we are, you know, we want to have our mark. And so we always, you know, some people were arguing over who got to sculpt in the face. So I was like, you can sculpt on the face, you know, I'll do the arm and I'll do the leg. And so we started sculpting and we started doing all that. I do, but you know, Sergio hasn't had any kind of training from a school. And one of the things that they taught me in school is like time management. Is as I got into the field and started working, there's a lot of time managing that has to be done. You have to like budget your time very wisely. It always like be like, okay, well, I'm going to give myself 2 hours to have this done. I'm going to give myself 3 hours to have that done. I'm going to give myself another 2 hours to do, you know what I mean? So
right.
I'm very micromanaged as an artist, only because it comes from learning and learning the hard way. And Sergio doesn't have that skill, but it doesn't mean he's not a good artist. Sergio is an incredible artist. And that was pretty clear even in his audition videos. You know, it's just we're two different artists that were used to working in two different ways. So I was used
right.
to working under the gun and really quickly, and Sergio wasn't so used to working so fast. So that was like kind of where both like our strengths and our weaknesses came out, was in that first challenge. Ultimately, we ended up in the bottom, but it was because we weren't able to finish everything that we really needed to on that, and because, which they don't show on the show, of course, but we were running the leg in polyfoam. Everyone asked me questions about what happened with the leg. The leg was going to be a latex skin inside the mold with soft polyfoam core that it would fit snug on his foot and he could still move in it, but it would be lightweight and not hurt him. So we started, you know, that route of, you know, going with the soft polyfoam core, but they didn't have any working gram scales in the shop. This is the first challenge. They didn't put those out. They, you know, we're kind of like the guinea pigs for the entire, like, whatever other seasons will come. This crew was like the guinea pig. So they didn't have any working gram scales. They finally got gram scales, making us run it outside. Now, polyfoam is usually a one-to-one, like you have, it's an A and B component. You mix A and B together in equal parts. So what they call a one-to-one mixing ratio. But the polyfoam that they had got for the show, for some reason, and this is so weird, they had it was a soft polyfoam, and it was a 10-to-1 mix ratio, which is, you definitely need a gram scale for that. So we were like, okay, they don't have any working gram scales. When they finally got us some, we were outside in the dark without a work light because the chemicals that it lets off smell can be toxic. So they made us do it outside with no work light and with no real, you know, finally got us a gram scale, but we couldn't see. So we mixed it wrong, and we poured it in. And what happens is if you mix, you know, too much of A or too much of B, it either won't set or it'll solidify to a really, like, rock hard because you overmixed it or undermixed it. And that's exactly what happened. And it inside the mold, and it set, like, rock hard. And, I mean, you couldn't even get it out of the mold. And I was, okay, well, we have to scrap the leg because, you know, of course, what you see on television is us, you know, just being like, well, it didn't work out, but there was a lot of other behind-the-scenes, quote-unquote, factors that went down to lead it to that mistake. But that's okay. I mean, I'll take full responsibility for it. I mean, you know, we did it wrong. Of course, there were reasons that we mixed it wrong, but we, you know, we did mix it wrong. So that's why the leg didn't work out, and ultimately the judges didn't like that it didn't have balance. which is fine. I mean, I understand, you know, it definitely was not the best it could have been, but there was a lot of things happening that kind of led to that point. But, you know, it's kind of like the point of any challenge that they're throwing at us. They want to see, like, what could go wrong. So.
Well, I have a call from a caller here. Let's make it them on.
Awesome.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Uh-huh. Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Who's this?
This is Maria. Hi, Maria.
Oh, hi, Maria.
Hi, I'm sorry. I didn't know whether y'all could hear me or not. I'm a beauty makeup artist from New Orleans, and so question for Gage. Actually, you did great on the show, all you guys. It really good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. And also, I wanted to know, because I do beauty, and I've dabbled into special effects, but it's real minor, like bruises, cuts here and there that I do with, like, dual glue that you use on lashes.
Right.
And
yeah,
things like that. But I want to get more special effects under my belt, but here we don't have a school, and as of now, I honestly can't go to L.A. or somewhere else and take a full-blown class how I would like to.
Right.
So what do you suggest, kind of just starting off into special effects? What are some things that I should do that are going to be my foundation to do special effects?
Right, absolutely. I totally understand. You know, that's a great question, too, because at the time I was a kid, you know, living in Utah, we didn't have any of that either. And so I totally relate to your situation. What I did was I got online. Actually, back then, online was pretty primitive, but through magazines and stuff, I found books. Now you can go online, and they're very accessible. There's a couple of really great books that I would recommend getting that will really teach you a lot of the fundamental, really, you know, neat effects. And it's a book called Grand Illusion, and it's by Tom Savini. And he did two of them. There's a Grand Illusions Volume 1 and a Grand Illusions Volume 2. So both of those books, I can't tell you how many times I've gone back and referenced through those books just to, like, you know, see, like, okay, well, I'm, you know, like when I was learning and I was just beginning, I was like, okay, I need to do this. I need to do, like, a slit throat. I need to do this. And it will really, Tom Savini breaks it down and all the steps that he used. And I know a lot of really skilled artists that started with those books, and they're relatively cheap. You can buy them on Amazon. And the great thing about living in the day and age that we do now is, you know, if you go and add if you buy a book on Amazon, bring up what other books people bought. So it brings up a lot of effects books that talk and anatomy books that, you know, they talk about how they do effects or how you can start to do effects. And also now there's so many YouTube tutorials online of people just doing, like, makeup tutorials. I know Megan from the show, actually going to be doing her own YouTube channel, which hopefully we can all contribute to from the show, and just show you how to do simple, quick tricks as well. But definitely, I recommend starting with those books and just, you know, researching and reading those books, though. I promise you, you'll get so much use out of them. They're just two really fantastic books that I referenced so much growing up.
Okay, cool. I've definitely just made a note of that. And also, with all of this, with the show and everything that happened for you, are you maybe interested in starting your own classes and stuff as well, or?
Yeah, awesome. Another excellent question. I'm doing a seminar in May, which may lead to more. But I am doing a seminar at a convention in May, the National Haunters Convention in Philadelphia. And I'm hoping that will springboard into even more, you know, seminars. I would love to do that. Because the thing is that I am that makeup artist that came from not knowing where to go or what to do. I came from northern Utah, you know. I mean, I would go and tell my teachers what I wanted to do when I got older, and they were stumped. They had no clue about how to even begin doing something like that. I do know that there's a lot of artists that grow up in big cities, and they have everything so accessible, especially here in Los Angeles. I'm not that artist. I came from wanting and yearning to know more and, like, really having to search it out, go to libraries and really try to get into the industry. So I want to do a lot more seminars. I would be definitely down for doing a lot more teaching and a lot more, you know, showing people how to do what, you know, effects, because, you know, like, hey, I was that guy, and I know how frustrating it can be as an artist to want to learn, and you can't because you don't know where to go. So
right.
That's definitely something I would definitely be interested in doing.
Oh, now, Gage, now, repeat the name of that convention again in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's called the National Haunters. It's the National Haunters Convention, and they do have a website. So that's coming up. I think that's May. It's like a 4-day event. I think it's the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, or the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. Yeah, it's that first weekend there in May, first or second weekend. It's,
okay.
It should be a lot of fun. It's one of the biggest back east, so I'm really excited to be a part of it. Got a hold of me and asked if I would be willing to do a seminar there, a 2-hour seminar. So,
cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
We'll make an announcement.
Oh, absolutely. That would be great. Yeah.
It's a pretty big deal. Congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria.
You're welcome. And also, I'm sorry, really quick. Are you on Twitter as well, Gage? Because I'm going
to Oh, yes, I absolutely am. Please find me. It's twitter.com/GageMunster. If you're looking for me online, I go a lot by the last name of Munster, which is M-U-N-S-T-E-R. So anyway, if you just type in Gage Munster, it'll pull up my MySpace, my Facebook, my Twitter, my website. I have so many cool projects coming up, as well as some limited edition art pieces that will be available via my website as well. So I got a lot of cool things in the works. So please connect with me, and please, you know, stay with me, because I got some really cool stuff coming up.
Oh, I definitely will, Gage. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you.
She's so sweet.
Now, Gage, let me ask you, I know we're running kind of short on time with you, but how was it for you to have your work reviewed and judged by great talents like Glenn, V, and Patrick?
You know, that was, for me, extremely stressful.
Mm-hmm.
I know it probably doesn't read on camera as being stressed out, but I was extremely stressed. I just remember thinking, like, you know, I remember sitting back at one point and being like, I hope people realize how, you know, how much courage it takes to get up here and do this, because, I have Beetlejuice tattooed on my arm. You know, I'm very familiar with V's work. Tim Burton is one of the people that I hold in such a high light creatively, that has influenced my life so much. You know, and V's worked with him very closely and created very memorable characters. And Patrick, too. I mean, Glenn, all of them. I mean, it was being up there, it sucked a lot. It didn't. It was not, even when they were saying nice things, I just remember like, oh, I just don't want to be on the stage. Get me off the stage. But it was very exciting, but at the same time, it was just, you know, very nerve-wracking. That's the word, nerve-wracking. Only because, you know, they are, you know that they're seeing, too, something that is not necessarily the best example of your work.
Right.
So if it sucks, kind of, you know, like there's no going back. It's out there not only for them to see, but for the world to see.
Right.
So, you know.
And tell us, what was your relationship like with Tom on the show? Because I know you two have worked together previously, and he's hired you on some jobs or something. So what was it like, especially during that first foundation challenge, when the judges, you know, I guess they thought your work and his work were the best of everybody's, and they had to choose a winner, and they chose yours. I mean, what do you think was going through his mind at that time? Like, oh, I hired him, you know.
Well, it's so funny because, you know, I know that, well, Tom and I have worked together a lot, actually. He and I worked together quite a bit. Actually, I worked more with Tom than almost any other one of my friends or artist friends of mine. he he and I started off working very closely, very well. We kind of stopped working together just because he went and did his thing, and I started taking on bigger jobs for myself, and I kind of started doing my thing. We really didn't even talk for like a year, as crazy as that sounds. But when you're busy, you don't, you know, you just go.
Yeah.
So when we reconvened on the show, I know that in my audition process, the judges were like, okay, so you know that you know Tom, so you know, what is your honest opinion of his work? And then they started crying from there. They basically, I know that some of the drama, you know, because reality TV is, we want it to be for our industry as artists and as makeup artists, and as much as we want it to be a show just about makeup and technique, you know, they really do have to try to involve the Midwest and people that, you know, watch the Jersey Shore and watch, like, shows that have drama. So they, it's got to be, like, a really tough balance. So they really were trying to find some drama between Tom and I. And I think ultimately they just kind of moved on from that. But you do see that in the first, like, episode, first episode or two. But then when Tom and I were really just kind of like, what ended up happening when they put us in a loft together, we just started being friends again. Like, what have you been doing for the last year? That's crazy. I've been doing this for the last year, you know. So I don't know. I watched that first episode where he was like, I could mop the floor with Gage. But I knew I knew that was coming from them kind of prying at that you know, you and Gage are enemies button. So I didn't take it too seriously. I didn't take anything anyone said on the show seriously. I was just like, whatever. Because I get it.
I
understand.
Yeah, you could tell. I think you were just like, you just wanted to get in there. You wanted to create. You wanted to do your best work. And that's how it read on TV.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Good, because that's how it was. I literally, I remember them trying to get me involved with the drama, and I was like, no, I'm good. No, I'm fine. So I remember that. I'm glad that it came across the way that it did. Just so you know, I can talk for like 15 more minutes. It's not a problem.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Now, what about your relationship with Marcel? I know you two became friends really quickly.
Oh, yes, we did. Oh, I'm so glad you asked about that, too. You guys have great questions. Yeah, no, he and I are, like, really, really close friends. We met online via, you know, Facebook and MySpace. You connect with different artists. And a really great website, the Effects Forum. It's a really great site for makeup artists. You know, I highly recommend going by there. It's nothing but amateur effects artists, you know, constantly contributing great ideas to do some really cool techniques. The you know, it's a really great website, and I really love it. And I met him on there as well. And we just started talking. And then it was funny because he was going up for the TV show, and so was I. We were both auditioning for it, but he didn't know I was. And then he posted on his Facebook that, you know, he was flying out here to Los Angeles for his third audition. And then I was like, really? Because I'll be there too. I auditioned for the show, and I'm going in for my third one. And he's like, that's awesome. And so I remember being a little bit nervous that the first time I was going to physically meet him was going to be in competition with him, because we had such a great friendship going already that I didn't want it to ruin, you know, when you're in competition with people and you've never met them, you don't know how they're going to be. He was really great. And the minute that we started talking, he just, like, we connected so instantly and so immediately because, you know, we're both children of the 80s, basically. We both grew up with what we feel are, like, the best cartoons. We had the Smurfs, we had He-Man, we had Thundercats, we had, like, the most creative and fun cartoons. We had the best horror movies. We had, like, both, like, literally, it was like sharing the same brain with the same music, the same movies, the same. And as soon as we started talking, we became, like, immediate friends. Like, there was never a second thought about being, like, in competition. That didn't even cross our minds. We were like, we're here to have fun. Because the way that I viewed it and Marcel viewed it and Sam viewed it, like, and Tate too, like, we all kind of viewed it as this could end at any moment. So let's just do the best that we can do and not be afraid to take a risk. Because I noticed a lot with some of the contestants on the show is they were afraid to take a risk. We definitely were not. We were like, let's just do it big. Let's just see if we can do it. I mean, there's a 50-50 chance we're going home. So let's just go for it.
But you know, that's kind of funny that you say that, because with Sam, I noticed it seemed like she didn't really compete with anybody. She was just there to do her best work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she wasn't.
It's
really
so true, and she's such a great artist too.
Oh yeah, she really is. And even with you and Marcel, it's the same thing. Everybody just wanted to do the best job that they could do, and you stood behind your work. Whatever you did, you stood behind your work, good or bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, and at the end of the day, it's like you can try to formulate an excuse for why something didn't turn out the way it did, or you can take responsibility and say, okay, you know, I messed up. It was my fault, but you know what? I still did it, and I'm really proud of it. And, you know, I think that kind of shows a lot about someone's character as well. Not necessarily that you're not willing to listen to critiques or that, you know, you're being arrogant, but just the fact that you're like, you know what? It's not the best that it can be, but I worked really, really, really hard in the amount of time we were given, which wasn't very long, you know, like 12 or 13 hours or something. You know, I worked really hard, and I'm proud of the fact that I worked so hard, and I have something to show you. I think that's what it came down to, especially in that first elimination with Jessica. You know, I do feel like Jessica was, you know, she was this, like, so sweet. In real life, like, Jessica's, like, one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. Just like Sam, like, they're the sweetest, sweetest, sweetest people. They're so nice, and they really were trying to just do their best. And, you know, I know the judges came down kind of harsh on Jessica, and she really didn't deserve it because she wasn't trying to say the judges were wrong, and she wasn't trying to say that she was the best at what, you know, at everything. But she was just trying to, you know, say, look, I did the best I could, and I'm proud of at least that, you know. So,
right.
So, and I think that says a lot of someone's character when they can do that. So, and, you know, and, again, you know, we were kind of on the page of being like, well, anything could happen, so let's just give it our all and try to push the envelope and see what happens.
Yeah,
well, I must say, Gage, the phone lines are really lit up. We have another caller I want to get on really quickly here.
I love that. Absolutely.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I want to ask two things, or to make one comment and to ask a question. Gage. You did fabulous work on every episode, and the handful one was fantastic.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That means that's so cool. Thank you.
Not a problem. I've sent you a few messages on Facebook every so often.
Awesome.
There's one question that you brought up, and I figured I'd ask about it. It's great that you mentioned the two books by Tom Savini. I have those books myself. I'm looking at getting into the field as it is.
Great.
A couple of people, like, for instance, Connor and a couple others have mentioned on their Facebook accounts and also you on this chat, the effects forum. Do you mean by the effects lab? Is that the name of the
exactly.
The forum?
Yeah, the effects lab, yeah. That's the one, and they do so much great stuff on there, and they're really great guys that run that. It's funny because you know, once the show goes on, you know, is airing nationally, you try not to go onto forums like that to read what people are saying about your work or anything. But they do great. They post those kids on there, man. They're really great artists, and they post so many cool things that you're like, think about doing that. Like, they're really great people up on there. So many talented artists too. You should definitely check it out. You're absolutely right. The Effects Lab. That's them.
Okay, good. And one last quick question, and I'll leave. I promise.
Yes, sir.
Are you planning on coming up for any kind of seminars or anything in the area of Michigan?
Michigan, you know what? I actually have a really good friend in Michigan, and he and I have been talking, and I'm not too sure about what, you know, what conventions go on there or where I might be able to, but I would love to go to Michigan. I'm so happy to be a part of this, you know, this world and this industry. I will go anywhere to, you know, help people and help educate them and just offer them even bits of advice that I have. So I definitely do. Michigan, I don't have anything in the works or lined up yet, but I very well may in the very near future. So.
All righty. Well, I'm from Battle Creek, and if I see you post anything about being in the Michigan area, I'll definitely be taking your seminar.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you. Definitely. Nice. Thank you so much.
And what's your name, caller?
My name? James. James Davis.
James. Thank you. So Thank you, James,
James,
for calling
thank
in.
You.
I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thanks.
James, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening.
We have a question in the chat room.
What's that?
I said we have a question from the chat room if I could get it in.
Great, I love that.
Okay.
I'm totally going to stay. I don't even care. I'm not going to go anywhere. We're going to stay and answer as many questions as we can because that's so great. I love it.
This question comes from Scott Dagger, and Scott's wondering if Gage feels there's a return to form now in Hollywood of special effects makeup in mainstream Hollywood compared to CGI work. For example, the small makeup effects used in a movie like Black Swan to punctuate the storyline. And he says, I mean actually physical makeup versus the use of computer-generated stuff.
Okay. So he wants to know my opinion on it?
Yeah. If you feel there's a return to form now in Hollywood of special effects makeup.
Yeah. Oh, there absolutely is. I think what has happened is a lot of the filmmakers in Hollywood are not only young, like around my age, but also, you know, older, which means they grew up seeing practical effects and seeing films like I did, you know, like Labyrinth any film from the 80s, pretty much, even into the early 90s. And I think because now that generation is older, they're the ones making films, I think you're going to start seeing a lot more practical effects. I also think it boils down to people in our industry being a little bit more wiser as to, you know, it's kind of what the good part about CG is that it's kind of pushed our industry to modify itself and to try to find better techniques and try to find better tools to use to shoot on things like the Red or shoot on HD or shoot on, you know, we've had to adapt. And it's great because it's pushed our industry as artists. However, what I like to see is, you know, minor little effects, even character effects being enhanced a little bit by CG. I like to see when they work very closely hand in hand and they complement one another. I think that's kind of the correct and appropriate way to utilize CG as well as practical. You know, a good example is the remake of The Hills Have Eyes or even, Silent Hill, which I loved. I didn't think I would, but I loved it. And, you know, they do take elements of CG and use it to enhance makeup or, you know, vice versa. They'll take makeup to enhance a little CG. They're never really big, but, you know, they're kind of small, like these little enhancements or subtleties. But I think it works really great, and I think you are definitely seeing a return to practical effects, and that was another big reason I wanted to be part of the show, is because I wanted to show people why I love practical effects and makeup and what it means to me. And because the show was, you know, a hit and they're doing a season two, I'm really hoping that people in Hollywood will start to see that there's a demand for practical effects, you know, because I think they kind of may have, you know, I don't think they forgot about it, but I think realizing that people really can appreciate and do appreciate practical effects really does help.
Yeah.
You know, and I also think it has a lot to do with our industry as makeup artists really need to work together, because I've met a lot of makeup artists that aren't willing to work with other makeup artists, and it's so silly to me, because I think, you know, united we stand and divided we fall as an industry, you know. If we can't work together as makeup artists and as artists and exist within this industry without, you know, lending a hand here and there and being happy for one another, then we're not going to flourish, you know, and CGI is going to come in and take over, and, you know, rightfully so, because we can't progress on our own, you know. So I think, you know, artists, it's kind of forced artists to start to work together and to break down those walls and just be fun and creative together and move forward together as an industry, which I think is the key to being successful as an industry.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What inspires you, Gage?
What inspires me?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Good question. I get inspired by a lot of things. I get inspired by people. I get inspired by my surroundings. I get inspired by the weather. I get inspired by smells, like certain candles will like really inspire me. I think I come from like appreciating art very much. So I spend a lot of my times at like the Getty Museum here in Los Angeles and MoCA and stuff. I really adore art. I love painting is my favorite thing to do. So what really inspires me is ever since the show, I've gotten so many, and I'm not just, I promise. Ever since the show, I've gotten so many amazing letters from people that I inspired them. And this one woman in particular, her 10-year-old son, he is so inspired by watching me on TV, and she sends me photos of him doing his makeup, and he dressed as Dracula, and it was the cutest thing ever. So it's like, what I find inspires me a lot is just people and people's support and like their kind words, you know, and just being people like being like, you know what, you did this and that's really awesome. It serves as a reminder to me to be like, you know what, that's cool. I'm so glad someone took the time out of their day to write me and say that. I, you know, and it keeps me going. It keeps me pushing me forward. Other than that, I get inspired a lot by music, the music I listen to and the films I watch. I love, like, again, I love Tim Burton, so I do watch a lot of Tim Burton films, a lot of black and white films, a lot of horror films from the 80s. God, I don't know. I get inspired by so much. But that's definitely one thing that keeps me going is people writing me and saying so many cool, nice things. It's just awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Well, who did you enjoy working with as a partner or a team member the most? Did I ask that question already?
No, you didn't, but I'm so glad you did, because it was Marcel.
Okay.
It was absolutely, it was Marcel. Like, honestly, I kid you not, like, my last challenge, which, by the way, my Hansel and Gretel makeup that we did, I think is one of my favorite makeups I have ever done as an artist. Only, you know, and you know, it's not because like I felt like it was the best or I felt like this and that. I just genuinely had a blast doing it. I was working with Marcel and Jessica every day. We came into the shop and we would just like, we would talk about the craziest stuff and like have fun and like, just, you know, it just felt so cool to jive with people on an artistic level like that. It was just so cool. Like, it was really one of my favorite experiences doing a makeup, but also one of my favorite, like, the end result. I didn't even think about it until it was all put together and we got our models on the stage, and I stepped back and was like, oh, my God, that looks awesome. Like,
oh, that's right, because everyone that was voted off the show came back, and you all had to pick partners.
Right, and I picked Marcel and Jessica, you know, like, we had such a great time, and I honestly mean that. The reason I was told later that they couldn't show a lot of, like, Marcel and I had hilarious, like, banter between one another. We constantly just quoted movies from the 80s and our favorite songs, like, and we made everybody laugh, and I felt at the time like it was, you know, helping a lot of people out because tensions were really high, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of hilarious banter that they couldn't use. Because it was copyrighted songs or copyrighted movies. So there's a great movie from the 80s, Heathers. It's one of, like, my favorite films of all time. It's like Mean Girls, if Mean Girls was rated R, but it also came long before Mean Girls. It came out in 89, and it started with Winona Ryder and Christian Slater, and it's one of the best films that has ever been made. But we quoted that movie, like, all the time. Of course, they couldn't use it because of the foul language and because it was, you know, copyrighted material. But it was so funny, and I was like, I hope people watch this and see how much fun we're having. I remember thinking that, you know, honestly, Marcel was my favorite person to work with, but those two together, like that last team was my favorite, like just such a fun experience. And it's just so cool to be able to look back and be like, I did that. And we had an amazing time. And those are my partners.
Now, who was your favorite artist throughout the competition?
On the show?
Uh-huh.
You mean in terms of the people around me or the judges? No, the people around me.
No,
right?
No. Yeah, just the people around you, just the other competitors.
Oh, like, you know what's funny is I really enjoyed Marcel a lot, and I really enjoyed Tate a lot, and I loved Sam as well. Sam, like, oh, man, Sam is so, so gifted, like, I really, I did feel like on the show you don't see that a lot. She's truly monumentally talented. So I would say, like, I felt like Sam, Marcel, and Tate, those were my three artists that I was like, you know what, I really connect with these guys, and I really love these guys. Their style, their attitudes, like, I love them. And I know that, you know, it's hard to narrow it down to one person, you know, but those are the three for me.
Gotcha.
Well, let me ask you, of the four, and Sam and Tate happen to be two of the four, but you are one of the four as well, but well, of the three remaining contestants along with yourself, who did you feel was your greatest competition and why?
That's a really excellent question. I don't know. it's really difficult because the executives would come to me and they would ask me, what is my winning strategy? And I didn't have one. And I told them, you know, the money is just a number. It's not a real thing for me because it's no real for me now than it was when I first started, and which is you could win. At the time, I didn't look at any, and this, it sounds really strange. I hope I'm answering this right because I'm just answering it how I feel, but I didn't feel like they were competition. I felt like we were all going out there to present our best work, but I didn't feel like I was going out to, like, win and take the show. If anyone, I would say that, you know, Tate, to me, possessed the same skill level as I did in the sense that we were always thinking on the same page and we were always going above and beyond. So I do remember seeing Tate and being like, that's so cool. But I don't remember seeing Tate and being like, I'm doing so much better than him. And that sounds weird, but that's the best way I can answer the question because I the way I compete and the way that I'm competitive is so different. Like, I don't go in thinking, like, I'm going to win and I'm better than everyone. I've never had that attitude. Even when I was in high school, I didn't play sports. I hate sports. I didn't play sports. Like, they would, if I was on someone's team and, you know, we were playing football, I would just stand there and let it fall to my side. Like, because I was always about, like, I was so, like, I was very much like Daria in high school, kind of, where I was just, like, which is a great that I grew up with, of course. But it's just how I compete. I'm just competitive in the sense of everybody bring your best foot forward and let's just see what they think. That's how I'm competitive. I'm not competitive in the sense of
what?
Like.
You know, actually on the show, it really seemed like people were, again, like we've been saying all night, people were just trying to do their best work. And it's like there are so many times where they showed people helping other people, like something's going wrong, you know.
Yeah.
And people just coming together, helping each other, which was great. That's not something you would see in your typical competition, you know, show. It's $100,000 out there, and you would think that people would be cutthroat and, you know, backstabbing, and they really weren't.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
you're absolutely
drama,
right. And someone else up as well, and I think the reason behind that is you know, if you're a makeup artist and you're an artist working within this industry, you know how small it is, and none of us wanted to throw, you know, in each other under the bus. I mean, I know it ended up happening a couple of times on the show, but I think we were all making a conservative effort, some more than others maybe, to not throw others under the bus because we know what kind of an industry it is. You know, we know how small it is. And if you want to remain a working artist, you need to remain professional. You need to, especially here in Los Angeles. It's just such, I mean, for as big of an industry it is, for those who remain working, it is such a small industry. And you run into each other constantly on set. And there's going to be several times where, say, like Connor or Tate or myself will be involved on a production and we'll have say over who they should hire and who they shouldn't. You know, and so you're trying so hard not to make enemies. You're really trying really hard to just stay competitive. And, you know, again, it is such a small industry, and we really can only flourish by working together. So I think we all knew that. As much as, you know, even the ones that were in it to win it wanted to, I think you couldn't help but help one another on that show and in that setting, you know?
Exactly.
So I think that's why. I think that's why there wasn't a lot of people trying to throw other people under the bus and get crazy. So
absolutely. Well, we've enjoyed speaking with you. We have like 5 minutes left in the show. You were only supposed to be on a half an hour, and you stayed the whole time. So
such fun. Thank you so much for having me. You guys had such great questions, and I'm so glad people got to call in. That's so awesome.
Well, since we have 5 minutes, can I throw in one last question?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
Please do.
Okay. Now, we spoke with Connor about this, so I wanted to ask you, what was your opinion of Frank? And I think it was during the body painting challenge when he made his model face.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it was like a backdrop or something. Like, what did you think about that? Was that really crazy or what?
Well, I understand. He didn't want – the bottom line, it's the reason he did it is I think he didn't want to have to paint over the penis. But at the same time, there are so many situations I've been in professionally on set where you've had to deal with a lot of nudity, both male and female, and you have to be able to do it. I think he already wasn't very happy at that point in the day. He had started that day off pretty cranky, and some issues were bothering him concerning, you know, the production. So he had kind of started off that day really aggravated and stuff, and I felt bad for his model. I really did. Only, no, it's not because I felt bad for his model because he was working with Frank. That's not it. I felt bad for his model because his model didn't know what was going on, and because Frank was in a bad mood, which we have our bad days, you know, so I don't hold that against Frank. And I know Frank, he's really a sweet guy. I think ever since the show, he's become even sweeter. He's just a sweetheart. But that particular day, I do know he was really upset. And when he gets cranky, he gets really cranky. He goes, you know, they don't call him cranky for nothing. So when he gets cranky, he gets really mean and upset, you know, understandably, we all do, I guess. So, but at the same time, I don't feel it's an excuse to treat your model like that. I felt bad for his model was right next to me, and he and I were joking around, you know, we were in the mood really lighthearted, like, and I told him, I said, don't take this personally, you know, he's just having a bad day, like, you're so, he was so sweet. His model was like the nicest guy. And at the end of the day, he understood. He knew that, it was all a show, and he knew that Frank was, upset about some other things, and it wasn't geared towards him. So, you know, at the end of the day, it was okay. So, I mean, I understand. I've had to deal with male and female nudity. It's just a part of our industry. It's really not that big of a deal. I mean, who cares?
Right.
You know, it's do your job. So, yeah, so that's my opinion on it.
Well, we really ask all of our guests this question at the end of the show, and we want to know, what is beauty to you?
Oh, awesome question. I keep saying that, you guys. beauty to me is, how do I answer this? Beauty to me is being able to love yourself and love who you are and understand what you're capable of, as well as being able to recognize and appreciate that quality in others. That's what beauty is
to me.
Nice.
We love it.
Thank you so much,
Gage. And hopefully we'll be seeing you at some of the trade shows around the country.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you'll have classes going on. So we'll be keeping our eyes on you. And if you have anything going on with you and you want the world to know about it, just send us an email and we'll make sure we get it on the air and let everybody know.
You ladies are so lovely and so sweet. I absolutely will. There's tons of stuff coming up. Just keep an eye out, and we will definitely be in touch. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great night.
Oh, I will. You too, ladies.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now we have 55 seconds. We want to roll out some beauty news for us?
Really quickly, let's see. Want to remind everybody about the Temp 2 Pro card. Since I don't have much time, I'll just give you the number to call, 800-972-9682, or you can email temp2pro@temp2.com. Join Michael DeVellis in the D.C., Virginia area this weekend as the Potter Group presents Marketing Your Career Now and Getting Next. The classes are $45 per session for the Potter Group Pro members or students, and $65 for all others. To register, you can call 212-627-7447 or email jeremy@thepowdergroup.com. And Illusions Cosmetics is presenting 30 Days of Beauty starting April 1st. You can follow our group page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Illusions Beauty for more details on that. And that's starting April 1st.
And if you liked tonight's show, go out to our page here on Blog Talk Radio and mark it as a favorite. Leave us a comment on the profile page. Send us questions and comments to info@illusionsbeauty.com. You can go to our Facebook page at Illusions Cosmetics, or you could go to our Twitter page at Illusions Beauty. Also, you can send us comments to our personal pages on Facebook or Twitter. And let us know your ideas about the show, your thoughts, your comments, any guests you would like to see, whatever. You can talk to us about it, and we'll do our best to give you guys what you want. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.